Did you know that there are over 100 references to prayer in the Bible? This little book right here is full of them. Full of prayers. Prayers from the Old Testament to the New Testament. People were praying. Priests were praying. Prophets were praying. Kings were praying. You name it, somebody was praying. They were praying before Jesus even came. They were praying to God. But then Jesus did come. And he changed the way we pray. He changed it so that our prayers are more personal now. And it's because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I should probably tell you at this point that in my experience, and I'm not really all that experienced, but in my experience, I'm not going to be able to tell any of you here about prayer. I can't say, well, you already know how to pray. You already know how to pray. Especially if you've been saved for a while, you know how to pray. I can't just come up and say, you know, you Christians, you should pray because God hears your prayers. Has anybody here not heard that? None of you are saying, well, what's he talking about? Nobody's saying, I was never told that. Another thing is, I'm sure that a lot of Christians carry a lot of guilt around because they either don't pray or they don't pray much. We had a little discussion in Sunday school this morning about a screen being dropped in front of a stained glass window of Jesus. And somebody saying, well, now I can't worship, I can't pray because the screen's blocking my view of Jesus. Sound like an excuse? Excuse to not pray. You know, if you have a less than vibrant prayer life, my job is not to make you feel guilty or make you feel ashamed, because that's not going to help draw you closer to the Lord. But what I can do is give you some motivation to help you want to pray more. I'm not going to give you any cute prayer helps. We all know that some of them are acts, right? A-C-T-S. You know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Right? We've all heard this many times before. And yes, it's a good way to pray. But nothing that I can add to that's going to help you. However, there are some ways to show us that God does want to hear from us. Think back. Think way back. We have King David. King David's looking up at the stars. He's out in the darkness. Stars are all around. David didn't have a telescope. He don't know what's out there. He sees these points of light in the sky. But it's big. It's vast. It's huge. He didn't know the universe as we know it. We got the Hubble Space Telescope and all this other fancy stuff, and they're taking pictures of everything here, there, and otherwise. And they're showing you this stuff. We'll never see it in our lifetime, other than looking at the pictures of it. But just think. Think of the stuff. They're light years and light years and light years away. The vastness of this universe. David understood that, even though he didn't know it. He looked up and he said, When I consider the handiwork of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? Wow. In the midst of all this universe, you hear us, know us, and want to hear from us. That was David's reality. He knew he could talk to God and God would answer him, even though he was a small speck in this whole universe. He knew God hears us. God hears what we utter. He hears what we think, and he knows our heart. And that, my friends, is a hard truth for some people to believe, especially those who don't know Jesus Christ. As Christians, we know that it's right. We believe, but believing way down in the pit of ourselves is a whole nother issue. Another thing that's true and hard for us to understand is that God does want to hear from us. He really wants to. I'm sure most of us grew up with fathers that the less you said to them, the better off you were. You know, you want to let the status quo, you want to leave things alone. You know, I didn't do anything, Dad. I'm okay today. Don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'll sit over here. You go and read your paper or whatever. Everything's good. A lot of people had fathers like that. You know, that's what it was. You don't want to bother Dad when he comes home from work, because he had a tough day. Things went pretty well that way, if you were lucky. Unfortunately, this is a very unfortunate thing, really. Many of us have carried that over into our relationship with God. You know, things are going along okay. We don't want to bother God with our problems. We'll just sit over here and wait for a while. Everything will work out fine. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. God is different than an earthly father. He wants us to come and hang out with him. He wants us to tell him what's going on with us. In fact, when we're praying, and I know this has happened to me, that we're praying to God, and we say something, and a couple of minutes later, we pray the same thing again. And maybe a couple of minutes after that, we pray the same thing again. And why is that? That's God saying, hey, wait a minute. I need to hear that again. I need to hear what's going on with you. Ask me that again. Let me help you with that. God wants to know these things. He's not threatening us when he does that. He's concerned. He's concerned because he wants to answer his children. God has issued us an invitation. And the invitation is, come to me, all you who are weary, you who are heavy laden, come to me. There's no other religion, none, that makes this kind of invitation. All the other religions say, they say, Paul, go and fix your problem. And then come back and we'll have you. This is the only one where God wants to know what your problems are. It's only in Christ that Christ says, as broken and shattered as you are, come to me and I will give you rest. I should have let you hold the notes. You're going right along with me here already. And it's also not through our righteousness. Heaven knows I'm probably not the most righteous person in the room. All right? I can't be. It's through Christ's righteousness alone that we are able to come to God. To come before the throne of grace with confidence. It's Jesus only. This is important. I said this once to Dave Fancher, and he loves it. It's Jesus only, not Jesus plus something. You believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in Jesus, and I'll give a lot of money to the church. Or I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to go and feed the hungry. Or I'm going to go and I'm going to do some great work. It's Jesus, period, not Jesus plus, that saves us. That's the righteousness of Christ. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Now, there are many different ways and different things that we can pray about, right? Everybody, come on, shake your heads. Yes, I know you're awake. And we often lift up our prayers of supplication from a place of fear. Supplication is a request for help from God. Okay? We're asking for help because we're afraid. This is not wrong, but what we should be doing is praying intercessory prayers from a position of faith. Intercession is a prayer, petition in favor of someone else. And by praying on their behalf, we're allowing God to take over the situation. Because we're not afraid. We know that He will take care of things. I don't have slides. But I threw this in case you wanted to jot down notes. Because I found that there are several different types of prayer. And it was miraculous to me that a lot of these things came out during Sunday school. I was surprised. They really did. Our first type of prayer is communion. Not the Lord's Supper. But praying all day and all the time. Does anyone here do that? Here. I'm with you, brother. At times, I find myself, and I don't know why, from the time I get up in the morning, there's a prayer stuck in my head, and it just keeps going and going and going. And all day long, it just keeps going. And it might not be for anything. It might be, thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. Might be, Lord, what do I do? But it's just there, and it's there constantly, all day long. I don't even realize it half the time. It's just there. And on those days, sometimes it gets annoying, I must say. Because you're trying to concentrate on something else, but it keeps coming back. The prayer's in the back here. It's like the Holy Spirit's got a 2x4 and he's whacking me with the thing to say, listen, you got to concentrate. And try as I might, I just can't stop those prayers. You know, I guess the Holy Spirit knows and insists that I continue with them. But in the end, all of that praying, all of those prayers like that lead me to a place of peace. They give me peace of mind. They give me peace in my heart. And I'm grateful for that. We also have prayers of supplication. That's lifting up our needs, and like I said before, it's in a place of fear. Now, I don't know how you guys are, but I often find that I don't ask for a lot of things for myself. I found that since coming to Christ, I pretty much have all I need. I do sometimes ask that the Lord help me and ask for wisdom or strength or you know, something, just enough to get through the day. But don't be asking to win the lottery. Or don't be praying that next quarter you put in a slot machine is going to make your rent. Those aren't needs that even though we think they're needs, they're not. They're not. If you didn't buy that lottery ticket, you have the extra dollar in your pocket. If you didn't go to the casino, you'd have the extra money in your pocket. You wouldn't have to worry about everything. You wouldn't have to be trying to fake your way through and ask God for it. Let me read Luke 18, 9-14, and Chris did this with the kids. But let me read this and see what you guys think. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other men, these robbers, these evildoers, adulterers, even the tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I got. But the lowly tax collector stood way over in the background. And he wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Needs. The Pharisee needed to have everybody hear him. He was making himself the focus of the prayer. The tax collector knew he was in the wrong and asked for forgiveness. That's supplication. Now, intercession. Intercession is praying on behalf of others. Who's on the prayer chain at church? Okay, a lot of folks. That's a good thing. We also discussed this at Sunday school this morning. Prayer chain is a great thing. If we have friends that need something, we pray for them. I'm actually on 3 prayer chains. I'm on 2 on the internet. One's a Walk to Emmaus prayer chain, and I'm on this one, and one of the other ones is a friend has one. And I like it. The only problem is the lists are real long. Everybody knows this. Every time the phone rings, my prayer time increases. And that's not a bad thing, but, you know, well, it's bad for the person who we have to pray for, unless it's a praise, which is once in a while. But This is very good because many people praying for others in distress is a very powerful thing. And I think Ann said this morning that, you know, sometimes the person that you're praying for actually feels the presence of God because you're praying for them. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. This shows that it shows God when we pray for these folks that we have compassion for others. And there are examples of this is where we're dealing with who's had problems with their kids. Boy, I'm telling you. When you get problems with your kids, you're on your knees constantly. And it doesn't matter where you are, what time of day or night it is. When you're having problems with the kids, they're in trouble, they're doing drugs, they're in jail, they need money, they don't know what to do, they're out drinking. Man, you can be a prayer warrior. Big time. Another prayer like this, intercession, is praying that someone will come to Christ. Do we do this? You can ask the guys from, Howie, I'm sorry I got to do this. You can ask the guys from the Monday night Bible study, all right, for two years, we prayed for Howie to come to Bible study. And he's here now. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. There's also spiritual warfare. Boy, I'm telling you, spiritual warfare. The first type is type A, dealing with yourself. Battling against your sins and repentance and forgiveness. You'll notice I didn't say battling anyone else's sins. It's battling your sins. Because we must deal with our own sin and our own shortcomings before we can help anybody else. Jesus told us in Matthew 7, verses 3 to 6, remove that log from your own eye before you worry about the speck in your brother's eye. That's a powerful thing to say. You know, we got enough of our own problems that we don't have to be worrying about somebody else's. We got to take care of ourselves. We got to get right with God before we can help others get right with God. And the other spiritual warfare, part B of that, is dealing with Satan and his demons. And boy, oh boy, turn on the TV, open a newspaper, turn on the radio. Satan and his demons are all around us. And we need to put on the full armor of God in order to take care of that. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Here's the belt of truth right here. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. We're constantly besieged by demonic forces. Every place you turn. Geez, go home and turn on Facebook. Go home and listen to CNN. Turn that on. Listen to some congressional stuff sometime. It's horrible. Demonic forces. I think the worst thing that I've heard recently, and you know, I hate to go off track here, but the worst demonic force that I saw was Mario Cuomo, what the heck's his name? Cuomo. And he's in Washington, and they're signing the bill for New York State to abort babies when they come out. And they're applauding. Ooh, demonic forces. And people don't believe it. But they're here. The world throws every manner of sin and injustice against us, and the only way that we can be strong is with God's help, and we're going to get that through prayer and through study. Because we ain't going to get it just sitting on our butts doing nothing. We got to pray, we got to study. We got to be with others of like mind. Now, we also have prayers of agreement. And these are corporate prayers for the betterment of our world, praying for our leaders, praying for governments, praying for enemies. And this was brought up in Sunday school also. I'm surprised how all of these things dovetailed together, and I didn't even plan on it being like that, but it did. And this is something like Sandy was saying this morning, you know, that she sometimes does not care for group prayer because people will start praying about themselves instead of praying about these things that they sat down to pray about. You know, the government and persecution and things of that nature. And that's there's time to focus on that, and that's why the prayer chain is so important, to focus on your problems rather than the problems of the world. So we have to be able to separate those things. That's where our prayers of agreement come in, because we like to do that. And we do that every week. You know, Lowell says something about praying for the president or praying for our congressman. Gary does it at Monday Night Bible Study. If nobody else does. And we need to pray for those folks. We also need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we're told to do that in the Bible. Fair enough? We've been instructed to give these entities what is theirs. Right? Give to Caesar what's Caesar. Give to God what's God's. And let's face it, folks, it's up to us. It's up to us to pray for the betterment of our world. And the world's not going to get any better until Jesus comes back. But that's what we have to pray for. We got to pray for the betterment of the world. We got to pray that our prayers will make a difference to someone, somewhere, at some time. Now, number 6 there says, watch and pray. Ooh, watch and pray. The watcher on the wall. This is a continual state of awareness as a watchman on the wall. These are prayers that help us guard our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we see they're doing something wrong, we should help them get back on track and pray for their hearts and minds to be open for our help. But remember the log in your eye before you start doing that. And actually, Ron brought that up at Sunday school this morning about praying for others and getting them back on track. We should pray not only for them, but also with them. Important. Important. How many times does someone say, you know, or do you say, well, I'll pray for you? And then you walk away. I do it. I'm sorry, I do it. I think the important thing here is if you're going to pray for somebody, do it right there. Do it right there. What does it hurt? It doesn't hurt anything. It helps the person that you're praying for. And it makes other people take notice. Hey, he cares. He cares. I've watched Gordy do this at the gun club with our friend Greg. You know, Greg's got some health problems. We've been praying for him for a while. And all of a sudden, here's Gordy with his arm around Greg. Hey, I know that guy. I'm going to go over him. I'm going to be with him too. That's the kind of stuff you need to do. You got to pray right there. Very important. I knew a guy in the other church that I was in, and he would do that. I mean, he'd be walking down the hall in the hospital, and he'd see somebody that was in pain or whatever, or on a gurney or something. Here, let me pray with you. Down on his knees, right there in the hallway. He didn't know these people. He didn't care. He was watching. He was praying. And you know, if we don't do these things, we are going to be held responsible. I got another one here. This is Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them the warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin. And I will hold you accountable. Accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Am I going too long?
I just wanted to say something.
Yeah.
I was in Tim Hortons yesterday and I was reading my Bible, and a man came up to me and he said, is that a Bible? I said, yes. And he said, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. He said, my name is Jamie, and I have a lot of things going on in my life. Would you please pray for me? I said, okay, I will. But I didn't do it right there with him. I just told him I would pray for him. And I wish, now that you said this, that I had done it right there with him.
And that's the things that we forget about. You know. It becomes an offhand remark to us. Oh yeah, I'll pray for you. You know, now you probably do. All right, you know, I have a set aside prayer time that you know I'm praying about stuff. And yeah, at that point in time, I'll bring that up. But that intervention right there is very powerful, and it's life-changing sometimes. It really is. Number 7 is we have prayers of thanksgiving. We count our blessings. I spend the most of my prayer time at number 7. If all I can do is tell God thank you for everything that you've given me, what more can I do? That's it. That's all I can do. There's nothing that I can give to God other than myself that shows my thanks for all he's given me. He's the provider of all things. I have food, I have clothing, I have shelter, I have transportation, I have friends, I have relatives. And there's so many other things that I've forgotten about. And let's face it, I forget about stuff on a daily basis. But I thank God for all of them, for everything. I especially thank him for the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Without the unmerited grace that he bestowed on us through his son, we would not be here today. Well, at least I know I wouldn't be here today. And that's a fact. Listen to this prayer. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. Ephesians 3, starting at 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. That's Thanksgiving. That is Thanksgiving. I want to wrap this up by telling you all, and on the bottom there it says push. Push. Pray until something happens. Even if you think nothing's happening, pray until something happens. When we pray this way, we show God that we have faith that he will hear and help the situation that we're praying about. We may not always get the answer that we want. We may not always get the answer that we think we need. But God knows what's best for each and every one of us. We must trust him. I think about how I prayed when Joanne was in the hospital after her operation. And this is after she had almost recovered all the way from her stroke and stuff, but she was in having this operation. And boy, I tell you, I kept praying for God's hand to be on her and heal her, bring her through this. The funny thing is that when God took her, I was at peace. God gave me peace that she was with him and healthy once again. No more pain. She'd been suffering a pain for the last year. Terribly. But God gave me the peace to know that he was in charge of the situation and everything was going to be all right. Now I'm here to tell you that in 1981, when our oldest son passed away, I didn't feel quite that way. But that was BC, before Christ came into my life. But now I'm at peace. And that, my friends, takes faith and prayer. Amen. Whew. Let me swab my eyes here and we'll continue. Yeah, I took the glasses off. I still can't see. There we go. Alrighty. Well, before we sing the last song here, we'll do a little praying. And you guys made it easy on me because there was no green slips in the plate today. So let's just start out by praying as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, we think of all those who have given their lives for various causes throughout the years, Lord. From the beginning of time, people have been fighting for good causes. And we're just grateful that there are people that will do this, Lord. We think of all the servicemen who passed in the various wars and battles. And we're thankful for them. And we're thankful for the families that let them go to help keep us the free nation that we are. And Lord, we pray for those who are away from home now, guarding and working with others to help make their nations free. All those people in the armed forces who can't be with their loved ones because they're out doing what they believe is correct. We thank you for them, Lord, and we ask for your blessing to be upon them during this day and this weekend that we remember our fallen. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the message today, for the wonderful music that we've heard, for the beautiful day that you've given us. The sun came out, as he always does on Sunday, and I'm so grateful that we were able to worship you today, Lord, and talk about how we can learn to talk to you more fully. And I thank you for that and hope that you have helped others to move in the correct direction to do these things. And Lord, I pray for our government, that you would be upon the leaders of not only our state and local governments, but our national government, that you would put it upon their hearts and minds that they can't do anything by themselves, Lord. They've proven that. But only through your help, your divine intervention, can we make this world a better place. So we pray for them. We pray for the leaders of the world, that you would be with them also. And Lord, we pray for those who are being persecuted for Jesus' name. We just think of all those folks who are not afraid to shed their blood because they believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for them, Lord. But we do pray for them, and we pray for their safety. And Lord, we pray for Lowell and Annie as they're overseas. And they're having a pretty good time right now. We're grateful for that. We ask for safety on their trip, as long as they're away, and that you would bring them back safely to us. And for everything that you give us, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.